go once more tonight to the 15th chapter of Mark's Gospel. I want to read verses 21 through 28. They compelled a certain man, Simon of Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated the place of a skull. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "He was numbered with the transgressors." And this is the word of God for the people of God. And they crucified him. How plain the statement. How simple. Anyone could understand what happened if they knew anything about crucifixion. The statement of four words makes no speculation about it, no question as to why, no interpretation, no theories of the meaning of the cross. It just states the fact and has tremendous power. However, the crucifixion is not just a fact. It has become the central, the pivotal fact of history. Its meaning is too great, too inexhaustible to be contained in all the words one could disclose. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the mind of all humankind to conceive all the meaning of the crucifixion. Those who have chosen to take a long, deep look at it, at Calvary, have discovered that it is a window in the truth behind it. The crucifixion is a window into the truth about God and about man. In the crucifixion, we have a revelation of God. You might look at the cross and see only the martyrdom of a good man, perhaps one of the best men who ever lived. And this is surely true. Jesus was fully human. He was the best man who ever lived. But this is only a small part of the truth we see at Calvary. You might look at the cross and see a great example of a man giving his life for a cause, for a dream, for a people. This too is surely true. But again, it's only a facet of the truth. In the cross, we have a window to look into the truth of God. We might read John 3:16, and you can all quote it, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him might not perish but have eternal life." We've memorized it, we've quoted it, we've heard it all of our days, but how do we know that it's true? What proof of God's given His Son do we have? And then we come to Calvary. There the love of God is pictured for all to see. That's the extreme that God will go to win us to Himself. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And it was not the good or the righteous that Christ came to save. He came to seek and to save the lost. But what proof do we have of this? Listen again. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet perhaps for a good man one would dare to die. But God has shown and clearly proved His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There it is, the truth behind Calvary. We see it once more. At Calvary we see the limit to which God in love will go to seek and to save the lost. I've loved it ever since the men's ensemble first sang it. I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary says. I love you. I love you. I love you. Written in red. The crucifixion is a revelation of God's love. The greatest, the most complete revelation of His love the world has ever seen. And at the cross, we not only see a revelation of God, we see the ultimate judgment on sin. Here is nowhere else we see what sin is and what it does. Here we see the nature and the result of sin which brought Jesus to Calvary. When we look at it, we are sometimes surprised. Of course, it was for all sin that He died, but the specific sin given for His crucifixion in the Scriptures are not what we usually expect. We've looked at it a little before, but see it again. Pilate knew that it was out of envy that the priests and the Pharisees delivered Jesus to him. Envy. Not what we usually think of as a very great sin. Envy. I looked it up in the dictionary. It says it's a feeling of discontent and ill will at another's excellence or good fortune. The priest and the Pharisees were convicted and condemned by the quality, the holiness of Jesus' life. They did not like, were jealous of the crowds that followed Him. So out of envy, they delivered Him to be crucified. And who among us can say that our hearts are strangers to envy and jealousy? We didn't think it was so bad. After all, few knew it, and it really wasn't hurting anyone. But at Calvary, we see the truth, the true nature, and the result of what we thought was a little sin. Again, Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. Again and again he said, "I find no fault worthy of death in this man." His wife, according to one of the gospel records, sent word saying, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man." Pilate was the one in authority. He had power to release Jesus. He knew he was not guilty. So why did Pilate send Jesus to Calvary? Again, we've looked at it before. Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas and delivered Jesus to be crucified. Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd. Seems such a little thing to want to satisfy the crowd. So you have to bend your standards a little. You have to tell a little lie. So you have to be a little less than you know you ought to be. What real harm is done if you can gain the praise of the crowd? At the cross, we see what sin, even that which we thought was not really bad, we see that sin is what it is and what it does. We see that the same evil forces that were at work in the priests, the Pharisees, and Pilate are still around. around us and in us at Calvary, we see ourselves. The crucifixion is a revelation of God's love. At the cross, we see ourselves in the ultimate judgment of sin. And this finally, at the cross, we find the way of life. In his epistle, Peter said that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. The example he left was the way of Calvary. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. At Calvary, the love of Jesus is supremely revealed. We see it, and he calls us to a life of love for God and for people. It calls us to a life of sacrificial dedication to doing God's will. There's so many things that demand our attention, our time, our life. We can give ourselves to live a life of pleasure, for fame, for wealth. But ultimately, only that which is done for God will last. And someone has said this, our lives ought to make somewhere on earth the sign of a cross. Our lives ought to make somewhere on earth the sign of a cross, else we shall not safely live or safely die. The cross. At the cross, in the crucifixion, we see the supreme revelation of God's love. At the cross, we see the ultimate judgment of sin. At the cross, we find the way of life. And they crucified him. There we look through this window to see the truth about God and about ourselves. Dare we not do so? For here is truly the way of life. Father, we cannot begin to understand a love so great. Help us to see your love, to comprehend enough of it, to trust it. Help us to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and run with patience the race that is set before us as we take up our cross to follow Jesus, in whose wonderful name we pray.